You're with Shannon Joy on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hello, world. It is me, Shannon Joy. This is The Shannon Joy Show. We're broadcasting from the Joy Virtual Bunker right here on TNT Radio Live. So good to be with all of you tonight. It is Wednesday, the epicenter of a very busy broadcast week. Very pleased to see my friend and colleague over at The Blaze, Daniel Horowitz, singing my tune on his podcast as well regarding the weeping and gnashing of teeth of conservatalkers, conservative media, and Republicans who are running for re-election to take over the House in 2022 regarding the brutal, drastic, unconstitutional, illegal, politically motivated FBI raid on former President Donald Trump's estate in Florida, Mar-a-Lago. I call it the saga at MAGA, right? And it's very hard. He shares my sentiment in this statement. It is very hard to get excited, at least from my perspective, of massive, disgusting government overreaches and complete obliteration of our constitutional rights when it comes to the president of the United States, the former president of the United States, who began the process of obliterating our constitutional rights and then stood back and watched while people who were defending him on January 6th, who came to the Capitol to stand up for him, then be persecuted, arrested, raided, and left to rot in a DC jail, while President Trump did virtually nothing to lift a finger to help them. Hard to get wound up about that from my perspective. When you consider the broken bodies, the dead bodies, the vaccine injured as a result of Operation Warp Speed, when you consider the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, who perished because of lack of treatment, early treatment, with vitamin D, vitamins, vitamin C, quercetin, zinc, refusal by medical systems and establishments to provide people with hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin. The long-term health impacts of these vaccines, it's tragic, it's horrible. Crimes against humanity. Yet nothing from the right. It is as if, we've said this many times, 2020 and 21 never happened. All of a sudden, they seem to get a burst of energy and they're freaking out and making all of these pledges and promises to get to the bottom of this, to look into this, to have some hearings. The conservative talkers are yelping. Dan Bongino dropping S-bombs on Fox News. This is BS. This is BS. And he used the actual swear word on broadcast. I'm not sure if you get fined for that. Where was Dan Bongino? Where was that level of anger and outrage regarding what happened to regular Americans? What happened to President Trump, we can all agree, is wrong. It is an overreach, but it is just the latest in an onslaught of abuses hurled at the American people by our own government. Now, Daniel's optimistic. He's thankful. He says, at least, listen, if it takes this happening to Donald Trump to get the level of anxiety and the level of response to where it should necessarily be, which is a 10, as opposed to the 1 or 2 that it's been at from our elected leaders for the past 2 years, well, then let's be thankful for that. I agree with him. And really, this is not about Donald Trump. It's about us. It's about we the people. It's about the United States of America. Will we be in this fight with the rest of the world? Will we stand up and go up against the global fascists? We're not in it yet, world. I'm here to tell you. We're getting there, but we are still mired in this two-party faction. And yesterday's show, just some, you know, what I am positing as a theory is very unique. I think Daniel shares this sentiment more or less, couple of other handful of talkers in the US. But when you consider what we're up against, the reality of the situation that I believe we're in based on my observations, we are a country, a nation obsessed and distracted once again by a presidential election that will happen 2 years in the future, by a polarizing presidential figure, a character, so to speak, Donald Trump. And yesterday on the program, we forwarded very key concepts, two very key concepts that are frankly civilization changing. And Daniel went there yesterday on his podcast in a similar way. Anyone clinging to the United States of America as a constitutional republic, as it was 2 years ago, is missing the mark. It's over, according to Horowitz. And he's right. We are not a constitutional republic. We are not the United States of America. We do not have a Bill of Rights. We are untethered from the law. This indeed is a banana republic. It is political will and organization which will determine the future of this country, and likely, because sadly we lead in the area of liberty and individual rights in the world, it will determine the future of the rest of the free world. Elections don't matter. Elections, we all understand and acknowledge, are rigged. We're going to have to find a different way. And Daniel laid out a path. He charted a course of action that can be taken, right? We can scream and yell and gnash our teeth and tear at our clothes and light our hair on fire about what happened to Trump, which is what all the talkers are doing, all the pundits are doing, all of the media institutions on the right, all of the Republican elected candidates. We're going to have a hearing. We're so angry. This is so outrageous. La, 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 right? Nothing. They're doing nothing. There are things we can do. And Daniel lays it out. And so that's one key point from Daniel, that we are not dealing with a constitutional republic in the United States of America. We're in flux. We're in flux. It is every man for himself, every town, every village, every state for himself, standing up against these global fascists and organizing as quickly as they possibly can for resistance. Yesterday on the show, I forwarded two concepts that are also, if true, civilization changing. Number one is this: all the world's a stage. It's Shakespearean. It's all kabuki theater. None of it is real. It's scripted. The politicians are actors, very bad ones at that, in a lot of ways. And not that they're reading scripts, but they're basically they're accepting this concept that this is the way Washington, D.C. is. You read your copy points. You vote how you're told. You go out and you secure the money from the benefactors, the lobbyists, the people who really run government, really write the bills, and you rinse and repeat and rinse and repeat. You don't ruffle feathers. You don't go out the two-party faction system. You don't criticize your colleagues. You stay on your side of the aisle. D's versus R's, D's versus R's. More money, more bills, more power for the federal government. Rinse and repeat over and over. That's the scripted nature, and everyone plays a role, including Trump. He's captured, in my opinion. He is part of the swamp. He's not an outsider. He's playing the role of an outsider. That's my hunch. And I'm not making a moral judgment about Trump. I don't know him. I'm just looking at the situation and trying to make sense of it. And that is the only theory in my mind that makes any sense. The president wouldn't do the dumb things that he's done, the absolutely asinine things that he's done over the past 5 years, the former president, unless he had to, unless he didn't have a choice, unless this was the deal that he signed up for. And yes, he may want to do things differently, but he can't. And that was Daniel's point. We can't change this electorally. We cannot reform the FBI. We can't reform the CIA or any of the alphabet soup organizations. And the second concept is that elections are fraudulent. Democracy is over. It failed. The experiment, the 100-year experiment with democracy has failed. Not only can the elections not be trusted because so many of them are rigged, but the two parties that we're supposed to choose from are essentially the same party, thus making the electoral process pointless. What is the point of choosing between two false choices? What is the point of having an election if our choices are chosen for us in back rooms by people we don't elect? Now, that's a big statement. Democracy is over. Democracy has failed. It's over. Now, that may worry you. You may think to yourself, oh my goodness, if we don't have a democracy, well then, oh, what will we do? It's not a bad thing. The United States of America was never a democracy. In fact, the founders and the framers deplored democracy. Democracy is the equivalent of two wolves and a sheep getting together and voting on what's for dinner. In a democracy, if you have 51% vote that they want to annihilate the remaining 49% for whatever crazy reason, well, then it's legal. Democracy without individual natural rights is completely useless. It devolves into mob rule. It's why our framers did not give us a democracy. They gave us a republic, said Ben Franklin to the woman who asked him when he exited the signing and the ratification of the Constitution. Well, sir, what do we have? A republic, madame, if you can keep it, responded Franklin. A republic, a constitutional republic with very small elements of democracy woven in certain areas. It was never a democracy. It was a representative republic built with checks and balances, both vertical and horizontal, meaning the federal government was confined by the Constitution, according to the framers. This document tells you, federal government, what you can do, and that's it. You can do nothing else. It was very specific. The federal government was to be small and reined in. They broke the branches of government up into the executive, the legislative, and the judicial, the president, Congress, and the Supreme Court. They shared powers. They separated those powers. Each branch was a co-equal branch, and they separated those powers so that no one entity could become too powerful. But they separated powers even further than that, right? Outside of the federal government, they built an opportunity for state governments to operate as sovereigns, right? It was a republic of sovereign states coming together and agreeing upon a framework for a very small national government. But everything else was left to the states. So you have the horizontal separation of powers between the legislative, judicial, and executive branch, and the horizontal separation of powers between the state governments, local municipalities, and towns and villages, and the federal government. They have no jurisdiction in most states, in most areas. Now, that has been obliterated over the past 100 years as corruption and collusion has seeped into the federal government and even into elements of state governments, right? And that's why they said, that's why they gave us the Fifth Amendment, which is the idea if the federal government gets out of hand and becomes tyrannical, you, the people of the United States of America, have a right and an obligation to throw the bums out. It's a brilliant document. A brilliant document. And it was in no way, shape, or form a democracy. And so, yes, indeed, democracy is dead because our election systems are corrupted and rigged. But that's a good thing. That's a good thing because this can move us now into what we were meant to be, a representative republic of free people with God-given natural rights that no government and no man can take from us. We'll be back in a moment right here on TNT.
TNT Radio's Trish Wood.
I'm telling you, there is something going on Twitter. They're going into election season. The Democrats can't win on any possible thing they're doing. They're just losing. And what happens with the Democrats in the states, because all of the big tech companies are affiliated and siding with them, going into an election season, they are asking for help with censorship from the big tech companies. And we finally have proof of that. We always thought it was true. It was alluded to a fair bit by Jen Psaki. And now we find from a lawsuit that was just resolved in one way or another that a treasure trove of emails obtained by America First Legal tells a far more alarming story than what we ever even thought was going on. The 286-page stack of correspondence reveals a cozy and daily working relationship between people in a position of control between Twitter, Facebook, Google, and the Alphabet power dynamic in Washington, the CDC, the NIH, and also the World Health Organization.
Trish Wood on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
For decades, senior government and intergovernmental organization officials have peddled fear with climate change alarmism. In June 1989, Noel Brown, director of the New York Office of the United Nations Environment Program, said that governments had a 10-year opportunity to arrest the greenhouse effect before it went beyond human control. He claimed that entire nations could be wiped off the face of the earth by rising sea levels if the warming trend was not stabilized by the year 2000. In reality, global carbon dioxide emissions from fossil fuels and industry were 62% higher in 2021 than in 1989, and sea level has barely changed.
Today's News Talk Radio. Today's News Talk Radio. TNT.
Excellent piece by Daniel Horowitz on this topic. We are now moving into uncharted territory. We are untethered from our Constitution. Separated from our Bill of Rights. The rule of law is out the window. Political persecution is rampant. Our own federal government and state governments are abusing the people at breakneck rates through biowarfare and the release of gain-of-function viruses every 3 to 4 to 5 months that our own government had a hand in creating. We are dealing with a hostile government that is now a profound danger to the lives and livelihood of 345 million citizens. An election isn't going to fix that, guys. We are dealing with the Fourth Reich. We are dealing with 21st century fascism. The world understands this. The U.S. does not yet. We are dealing with Holocaust and democide. And the only acceptable outcome will be full truth, full justice, and Nuremberg style tribunals. Daniel Horowitz and Steve Dace just released a book entitled The Fourth Reich, where they essentially try, it is a mock trial with facts, data, and testimony of the scoundrels and the wicked, wicked people and institutions who abused us over the past 2 years. It's going to be an excellent book. I'll have likely both of them on next week to talk about it. That is the only outcome. Elections don't matter right now. They might someday. We might have elections we can trust someday. We might have two political parties who represent two visions, but both respect our Constitution and our Bill of Rights sometime in the future, that are honest brokers. We could have that. Not now. They're too corrupted. We've gone down this path. They're playing for all the marbles. You can't put this cow back in the barn. You can't put this cat back in the bag or the genie back in the bottle. We're doing this, world. And I'm right here with you, white knuckled on the roller coaster. It is exhilarating and terrifying all at the same time. But there are so many people out there who are hearing the call. They're picking up the mantle. And they are fighting back all over the globe. These are precarious times. Most radio hosts are going to reach for the low-hanging fruit. That's why they'll talk about elections. They don't know what else to talk about. They haven't thought hard enough about it. Here on the show, every evening on TNT, you will be presented with rock solid, truthful information that matters to you and that will empower you in your own life from your own corner of the world to stand up and fight back. You're going to get information from a carefully curated roster of the best. I'm telling you, my people, my guests. I'm not very smart. I'm surrounded by brilliant people. That's the secret sauce to this show. I've curated a roster of the best independent, brilliant thinkers, scientists, economics, experts, and they all share one thing: courage. The only people allowed on my show are people who have stood up, they've done something brave, they've risked their livelihood, their reputation, fortune, and even in some cases, their lives. These are the people who gain entree on the Shannon Joy Show. If you're selling a book, go somewhere else. If you're promoting your website or your manual, or your event, and you're not willing to put some skin in the game and risk something, then you go and find your own show. Go talk to Sean Hannity. Go talk to one of the big talkers in conservative media. You're not going to gain entree here. And as an audience, you all know that. Brilliant, courageous, worldly thinkers. These are people who are brilliant in their own school of thought, whether it's psychology, medicine, oncology, data, statistics, global affairs. They're not economics. They're not just educated in their own narrow scope of expertise. They're worldly. They can take that knowledge and expand it to all of the areas that are being attacked today: government, institutions, our economic system, our bodies, our healthcare system. You have to manage foreign affairs and border policies and the criminal justice system. It takes an abstract thinker, a Renaissance man, so to speak. And those are the types of experts I have on the program. These are the type of thinkers that I present you to, or present to you. Dr. Malone and Andrew Wakefield, Brooke Jackson, the whistleblower out of Texas with all the receipts, Jeffrey Tucker, Steve Kirsch, Jordan Schachtel, obviously Daniel Horowitz, Steve Dace, just to name a few. And we're going to bring you more. These are the leading thinkers of the day. And you find him here on the show. I can't believe. Sometimes I pinch myself. I can't believe little old me, right? I'm just a radio host, a mom out of New York State, that I could be connected to these types of people. These are the people who will lead us into the next century. These are the people who are going to lead us into victory. And I mentioned Daniel Horowitz. Excellent piece. I'm going to have him on to talk about that because, again, everyone's talking about the raid on Mar-a-Lago, the saga down at MAGA in the great state of Florida. We talked about it in detail yesterday on the show. I invite you to go back to the podcast right here on TNT Radio and listen back because we go into detail with my theory on that whole situation, which is very different than what you're going to hear anywhere else. By the way, if you missed your favorite TNT radio show, like that one, or interview, simply listen back when you want. Wherever you want, just visit episodes on the TNT radio website. We are also on all major podcast platforms, including Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, Podbean, iHeart, and TuneIn. Now, there's no reason to miss out on anything on TNT. When we come back, we're going to look at this piece by Daniel Horowitz, What Conservatives Must Do Following the FBI Raid on Donald Trump. And I would add, and to address all of the raids on all of the people that have happened over the past couple years. When we come back, we're going to hit that right here on TNT Radio.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. Russia has summoned an emergency session of the UN Security Council to discuss the situation at Ukraine's Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, which has been the subject of regular shelling attacks. China has announced an end to the unprecedented military exercises around Taiwan, which were launched following the controversial visit by U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to Taipei. The U.S. had a better-than-expected report for July. Zero inflation.
On air and on the app.
I listen on the app.
Stay up to date around the clock.
I listen, therefore I know.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Must read piece by Daniel Horowitz, What Conservatives Must Do Following the FBI Raid on Trump. This is the angle that we should be taking. He begins, watch out, Democrats, Republicans are about to take over the House. Everyone's assuming that in 22. And they're now fundraising to that end. By the way, I was right. Trump is the big winner in the saga down at MAGA. He has now broken every fundraising record ever in the history of the world. Democrat, Republican, presidential, Senate, you name it, right? He has raised more money on that rate. This is why I'm telling you, Donald Trump is not crying in his milk over Mar-a-Lago being raided. No one was there either. I wonder if they got the memo. They probably did. Again, all the world's a stage. It's just my hunch. He says, if we're still free by next January, though, they will hold hearings and send fundraising emails on how they can't do anything meaningful to restore democracy until they win the next election in 2025. So we now, again, have to wait till 2025 for justice. Watching all the GOP leaders foam at the mouth and sputter with anger over the FBI raid of Trump's home is hilarious. For the same reasons Democrats didn't feel deterred from taking this action in the first place, they will go undeterred for the next one. Which is why the FBI followed up the next day with seizing the phone of Representative Scott Perry. The GOP simply refuses to do what it takes to harness national attention on the issues that matter and induce an inflection point on society. Bottom line, they won't do anything. But we have to push them to do the right thing. And he goes into discussing the response from Mitch McConnell. Initially, he didn't even make a statement about it. Steve Scalise is promising to hold FBI accountable next year with hearings. They're not going to change anything. Nothing's going to happen. Enough about the hearings, fundraising, emails, and obsessively focusing on the next election. Here are the steps, says Daniel, that must be taken immediately to deter the federal police state. And these are excellent. These are excellent. This is bottom-up action. This is stuff that you can influence your state legislators, your Republican governors to put in place right now. They're the ones that you can talk to. You're not going to get any sway with any federal elected representatives, period. They're bought and sold. So first, states must block the FBI from political persecutions. States need to interpose against federal tyranny, and they can do it. State legislatures should convene emergency sessions now. If you're Republican, if you're in Texas, if you're in Florida, Wisconsin, North Carolina, these are states where you should be convening in emergency sessions and pass laws. Those laws should bar the FBI from operating within the state to investigate or apprehend political dissidents. One such bill has already been introduced in Oklahoma. This was introduced by Senator Nathan Dom. It's SB 1166, the Prohibition of Political Prisoners in Oklahoma Act. This is because before President Trump got raided, hundreds, if not thousands, of law-abiding, peaceful American citizens have had their homes raided by the FBI for being involved, gasp, with organizations like Moms for Liberty, or for standing up and speaking out at school board meetings. Targeted, raided, abused. The states have a natural authority and a constitutional authority to stand up against this to protect their citizens. This is something, by the way, Ron DeSantis can do, and the Florida State Legislature can do to empower Ron DeSantis. I have a feeling that this piece written by Daniel Horowitz might just be a love letter to DeSantis in Florida. Like, okay, buddy, here's your template. This is what you do. So legislature starts, not executive powers. We don't want Ron DeSantis flying in with a cape, seizing power and doing all kinds of executive stuff. This stuff should be done by the representatives. Number two, creation of state guards. Florida has done this. Florida recently created a state guard that cannot be federalized. Other states must follow suit and make clear that they will use the guard to confront any federal officials. By they mean FBI, DHS, ATF, or IRS who prima facie target political opponents. I would extend that. I would deploy the state guard against any of the alphabet soup bureaucracies that have been weaponized. Remember, the bill that was passed this past Sunday added 85,000 to the ranks of the IRS and also allocated weapons, guns, and ammunition to the IRS, which is a tax organization. Okay? So the state guards should not only be deployed to protect the population against targeting of political opponents, but also any other unconstitutional overreach of the federal government or their various agencies. I'm adding that to Daniel's piece because I think it's important. Number three, he goes on, sheriff's posses. We must begin declaring sanctuary counties. This is such good stuff, guys. This is local stuff. If you're listening, by the way, in the UK or Australia or New Zealand or Scotland, anywhere, listen up. This is the kind of stuff that you can begin to build in your own communities. You can do what we've done here in the United States of America through organization. I can assure you, the armed forces in the Netherlands and Australia, I love you guys, okay? But the armed forces in Australia and New Zealand are nowhere near as vicious and brutal as what we have here in the United States of America. Yes, we are armed to the teeth, the citizenry here in the US, but we are up against the most powerful freestanding military on the face of the planet. Save China, maybe a little bit of Russia, right? And if we can do it, you can do it. So this is all about localism. This is about organization. There's power in that. sheriff's posses, elect sheriffs, create a sheriff in your town or village. Just do it. See what happens. Arm him. Just do stuff, right? Don't ask questions. Seize back your liberty. Daniel goes on, we must begin declaring sanctuary counties, in which sheriffs will work together with the citizenry to form citizen posse units. This, by the way, is what they do in Switzerland. World War II, as the Nazi regime and the fascists were barreling across Europe, smashing everything in their wake, there was one nation, and it was Switzerland, that did not fall. And many attribute that to the fact that in Switzerland, every man, I don't know about women, maybe women too, is armed. They're required to be armed. They have armories. And every citizen is required to know how to shoot a gun and be trained in shooting with a gun. And they normally put their guns in the armories in Switzerland. But many attribute that behind the reason that the Japanese and the Nazis were not able to go in and sack Switzerland during World War II. I've heard that before, right? So that's a citizen posse. Their job will be to defend victims of federal persecution within the counties at a moment's notice. Minutemen, so to speak. Number four, he said, block the fiscal year 2023 budget. Republicans are supposedly going to win back the House in the fall of 2022. That means they control the power of the purse. They can block anything they want. But according to Horowitz, Republicans aren't even promising to block the budget bills to repeal the 87,000 IRS agents when they win back the House, much less do so in September. But there's no time like the present. It's time to force a national inflection point. Democrats still need 10 Senate Republicans to pass a budget bill. Republicans should hold up any budget bill until there are policy riders prohibiting the use of funding for political persecutions, the hiring of new IRS agents, the funding of Pfizer and Moderna, and any COVID mandate. Boom, Daniel. This is why Daniel's brilliant. He gets into the nitty-gritty. He provides the solutions. He's been doing this for almost a decade, guys. This is all at the fingertips, by the way, of your elected officials. They know they can do all of this. And you now know that they can do all of this because of the work that Daniel does. The key is for them to know they can do this so that they can't tell you, oh, there's nothing we can do. That's the ploy. Our hands are tied. We're the minority. Our hands are tied. We need the Senate. Excuses, excuses, excuses. No more. He goes on, slash the budgets of the FBI and ATF. Rather than just holding hearings, Republicans must pledge next year to pass a budget bill, slashing the budgets of these rogue agencies and channeling those reduced funds to a very narrow purview of dealing with career violent felons, Islamic terrorists, so on and so forth. There's a lot that they can do. But Daniel goes even further. What if there isn't a legislative fix? I mean, we are essentially asserting that DC is not savable. The entire apparatus needs to be taken apart. It needs to be obliterated. Washington, DC needs to become once again a swamp full of unimaginative people, as described by Alexis de Tocqueville in Democracy in America. Nothing should be happening in Washington, D.C. We need to take the entire thing apart. Sledgehammer to the whole thing. I'm not joking. And I'm not being hyperbolic. That is what needs to happen. They are vicious, vicious, wicked, wicked, corrupted predators. It is evil on a level we have never seen in recent history. But in terms of democracy, this was a brilliant end to Daniel's piece. The notion that we must wait for federal elections to fight back is absurd. We should be fighting back every day. You should be fighting back every day. New Zealand, Scotland, Ireland, South Africa, Australia, UK, In Canada, they're doing it. Netherlands, Germany. Every day, every moment, finding people organizing, building, resisting every day. Waiting for federal elections to fight back is absurd. Waiting for democracy is absurd. Thomas Jefferson, in his Kentucky Resolution of 1798, noted that elections were only reserved as the tool to redress grievances of federal policies within their delegated authority by the Constitution. This is what he said, that in cases of an abuse of the delegated powers, the members of the general government being chosen by the people, a change by the people would be the constitutional remedy. If the feds are clearly abusing their authority by monitoring, surveilling, and arresting people for political crimes, making them wear masks on their faces or force jabbing them, then it is completely within our right and our responsibility to throw them off and to revolt. He goes on, but where powers are assumed which have not been delegated, which is what I just mentioned, a nullification of the act is the rightful remedy. That every state has a natural right in cases not within the compact to nullify their own authority of all assumptions of power by others within their limits. That without this right, they wouldn't be under the dominion, absolute and unlimited, of whosoever might exercise this right of judgment for them. It is time for the states to stand up. And it is time for individuals to stand up, put pressure on your locals. The locals then put pressure on the states, and that's how we get this thing done. And we can get it done. We'll be back in a moment right here on TNT.
The midterms and America votes on November 8th.
With his expert analysis and opinion,
this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
In a shocking abuse of its substantial police power, FBI agents last night raided Mar-a-Lago, the Palm Beach estate and primary residence of President Donald J. Trump, looking for 15 boxes of documents that the president had brought with him from the White House in January 2021. These documents are not anything new. They've been the subject of negotiations between the Trump team and the DOJ for a year and a half now. So why was the warrant executed yesterday? Indeed, why was the warrant executed at all? It turns out that Attorney General Merrick Garland and FBI Director Christopher Wray were briefed before the raid was conducted. This has Americans of all political stripes outraged. If they can do it to a former president, they can do it to us. Maybe that's what the 87,000 new IRS agents are for. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
What? Are you kidding me?
If you can't believe what you're hearing, then get the straight talk from us. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Time flies when you're having fun on the radio, and it is fun to do radio right here on TNT Live. It's fun to talk about revolution. It's fun to talk about truth and justice. It's fun to realize that we got this. We can do this. We're not alone. People have stood in the face of tyranny throughout human history. Back to biblical times, when Moses went to Egypt and said to the Pharaoh, "Let my people go," emancipated the Jews from the Pharaoh and led them into the promised land. Fast forward 4,000 years of human history, and we have example after example after example, people standing in the face of the most powerful entities on the face of the planet. We sometimes think that the global fascists are so powerful and so big and so smart, so connected, that they're unbeatable, that there's nothing we can do. And that leads to apathy. That's why people don't do things. Because in their heart, they don't believe it matters. And that's the key, is turning that off. You do matter. What you do matters. Each and every one of us, across the globe, in our own towns and villages, within our own communities, we have something to do, and that creates a butterfly effect. When one person stands up, another person sees that person standing up and they gain their courage. And then when there are two, people see there are two and they see them standing up and they see they're okay. They're threatened with loss of life, liberty, and property, but they're still okay. And that lends courage to the next person, one by one by one. I've seen this happen in my own community. I'm witness to it. And I'm here tonight with all of you to testify to it. From the deep blue state of New York, where we have so much corruption, yet we are pushing back, fighting back. Our organizations are strong. We're making an impact. We're changing the paradigm. We're moving the Overton window. We're forcing politicians to talk about the things that we want them to talk about. I'm watching this happen. I'm in conversation with doctors and nurses and ex-health professionals who are building parallel institutions, clinics, holistic health clinics, doctor's offices, medical facilities. They're building them up alongside these corrupted medical institutions so that when they collapse, there's a place for people to go to heal and get better. People who are vaccine injured, people who are worried because they've been jabbed or double jabbed or triple jabbed, can go for treatment where they'll be spoken to and treated like a human. I see it happening. And I know that if this happens, if what I see here in Rochester, New York, happens across the country, in Fresno, California, in Houston, Texas, in Orlando, Florida, and even London, right? Brisbane, Melbourne, across the globe. We're gonna win this. They can't control all of us. We have strength in numbers. There are 8 billion of us on the planet. And you know who's leading the way? It's Africa. I love that it's Africa leading the way. Love what is happening in Africa as they find their voice and they figure out their communities and they understand they've got Bill Gates's number. They're like, you are not jabbing us with anything anymore. We've been dealing with this now for 20 years. God bless them. We need to do this because people are sick. This is the last piece I want to get to today. I went a little bit longer on the other topics. Bloviated just a little bit. Sorry about that. Sometimes when I get going, I just go. And I have 17 other things to get to that I just don't get to. But we have a few more minutes in the program. And this one is important. Protocols for the vaccine injured. This was a piece out of the Epic Times with Dr. Pierre Corey. He is spearheading treatment protocols for individuals who are vaccine injured. And this is a tragic, tragic element of what has happened. Even individuals who were part of the clinical trials for the rollout of the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, they are not being treated. There are so many sick individuals from those clinical trials and they cannot get treatment. Doctors and medical personnel and institutions are telling these people they're crazy. These people can't walk. They're in wheelchairs. They have every malady under the sun. When you look at the VAERS reports and the number of horrific adverse events short term, and then you look at the, I mean, from cancers to heart attacks to strokes, the long-term attack on people's immune systems, inflammatory diseases. We are dealing with a lot of sick people, and it's tragic. And so God bless Pierre Corey. You love it because there's no sour grapes here, right? Like we're so persecuted, those of us who are unjabbed. We've been mocked, ridiculed, demeaned, fired. We've been ostracized, alienated, excluded, given the equivalent of a yellow star because of our unvaccinated status. We've been vilified, demeaned as inhuman. It's disgusting what they've done. It's disgusting what they have done to the unvaccinated. But here you have Dr. Pierre Corey and people from our groups, our tribe, so to speak. And do they have sour grapes? Are they bitter? No, they're ready to help the same people who stood by and said nothing or were complicit in the persecution of the unjabbed. That tells you a lot about our people. Tells you a lot about our people. We have compassion for humans. Even the people who have persecuted us, we have compassion for. And that is the right way to be. And so according to Dr. Pierre Corey from this piece, the first ever protocol for vaccine injured people focuses on countering the spike protein mechanisms and shows early promising results. Now, Pierre Corey is a pulmonary and critical care specialist. He is the president of the Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance. It's FLCCC Alliance. If you plug in FLCCC on Google, they will come up. It's a nonprofit organization dedicated to developing protocols to prevent and treat COVID-19. He was one of the earliest that was talking about vitamin D, vitamin C, quercetin, right around the time of Zeb Zelenko. May he rest in peace, that angel. And we know he's in heaven. But Corey was right around, I referred a few people to Dr. Zelenko, and we had been corresponding about having him come on my program in the weeks prior to him getting very, very sick. And I was never able to get him on, but I sent a couple people to him. He did teleconferences with them and saved their lives. Amazing, amazing man. He will go down in history, Dr. Zeb Zelenko. He was a colleague of Dr. Pierre Corey, and Corey has now expanded. It's not just about treating COVID-19, but treating people who have been injured by the COVID-19 vaccine. And this is what he said. What we're trying to focus on is spikeopathy, which is the study of the pathogenesis of the spike protein, says Corey. And there's no one teaching it to doctors right now. No one in the system, he told Epic TV's American Thought Leaders. Listen to what he said. I'm humbled by these patients. These are people who were vaccinated. Often they're very extreme, or often they're extremely complex, very, very sick people. But I get them better to some extent, and sometimes to large extents, I see robust responses. I see the diminution or mitigation of lots of symptoms, and others are much more difficult. On August 3rd, the FLCCC Alliance updated their I Recover post-vaccine protocol, which is in PDF form. So to those of you listening to the sound of my voice tonight, I would, number one, go to FLCCC, print out this PDF or get a link to it so that you can share it with everyone you know and your family, loved ones, friends, and community members. This is a perfect way, a wonderful way to outreach to people who are very sick. And also, I would take a look at that iRecover PDF, but also follow Dr. Pierre Corey. I think you can find him on Substack. He might be on Twitter. Just type him in, go to FLCCC, and you can find all of his work. But He is probably the lead in all this. I'd love to hear from all of you, by the way, if there are any other fantastic resources that you have found in terms of treating individuals who have been vaccinated, please, please send it to me. Email me, theshannonjoyshow@gmail.com, theshannonjoyshow@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you and begin to compile a list of fantastic resources so that we can go out as light and salt into the world in our own communities and help people. That is gonna be key to pushing back, along with standing up, speaking out, resisting, refusing to comply. We need to embrace humanity and embrace even the people who we have been opposed to at times to help them. All right, that's the way forward. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll be back to do it all again tomorrow right here on TNT.